We're here on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, and we're trying to figure out what is Rabbi Yossi's opinion about Breira. And so far, we had one Breisa that indicated that Rabbi Yossi rejects Breira. And that was the Braisa of Shnei Lugin Shani Osid LaHafrish. Right, if you recall, he bought Yayin from Kusim, and he's not allowed to drink from the wine without Afrasha. We don't believe the Kusim to be Mafrish Meiser. And he set up a Breira situation. He said, today I will drink from the wine, and I will give truma, I will give maser, I'll give trumas maser tomorrow, and that will clarify tomorrow what my afrosh is today. And Rabbi Yossi rejects it. Rabbi Yossi says he cannot avail himself of that possibility because ain brer. And we posited a contradiction to that position of Rabbi Yossi from a Mishnah in Masechet Kinim, in a case where you had two yoldos, two women who gave birth, and they each have to bring, let's say in a case of Ein Yoda Maseges, they have to bring Shtei Torim or Shnei Bnei Yona, which is one ken of two birds, and each one has its own pair of birds, and the two kinim were combined together, so you have four birds together in one mixture. And Rabbi Yossi is the one who says that shtei noshim shelochu es kineim bi'eruv o shenosnu dmei kineim lekohen. So either they each, we'll call it Rachel and Leah, each respectively purchased a pair of ofos, one for Ola, one for Chatos, and the two got mixed up. Or alternatively, they gave money to a Kohen to purchase an Ola and a Chatos on behalf of each one of them. And they could make the following declaration. They could say, Li'eza Shiyirtza Yakriv Chatos, let the Kohen decide which one of these two birds will be a chatos for which one of these two ladies, and it's valid. So the Gemara thinks that that's a proof positive that Rabbi Yossi holds Yesh Breira. Amar Rabba, so Rabba said, Hasam Kishe Hisnu. So you'll see this on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, three lines up from the bottom. And Rabba reinterprets the Mishnah in Masechet Kinim, and he says, we're talking about a case which is not Breira, because again, Rabbi Yossi holds Ein Breira, as we saw in the case of Lokeach Yayin, and he says, Shnei Lugim Shani Yossid Lahafrish, which Rabbi Yossi invalidates. But the reason why in the Shtei Noshim, Shalokhu Kineim Bi Eruv, why is it valid, and the Kohen will decide, even though at the time of the purchase, the Knias Ha'ofos, Shtei Torah, Shtei B'Dira, that should have determined the Chatos on behalf of Leah, the Ola on behalf of Leah, and the Chatos and Ola on behalf of Rachel. But nevertheless, no, we're going to determine it later on when the Kohen does the actual Hakrova. By the way, on the side, normally the first of four avodos in the Migdash is Shechita. In this case, we're talking about Malika. Because when you're talking about Of, whether it's Olas Of or Chatas Of, is Malika. Anyway, at the time of the Malika, the Kohen will decide which of the two birds go to which of the two ladies, and each one will get her Chatas and Ola, and everything is fine. So the Gemara says, no, it's not fine, unless there was a Tanai. And the Tanai means that when the Kinyan was made, basically, the Kinyan was made as a partnership of both of these women, both Rachel and Leah, and they both agreed that if X, then this is yours, and if Y, this is mine. Meaning, the actual Kinyan on which of these two birds, or shall we say which of these two pairs of birds will be valid for which of the two ladies, that was agreed upon by both of them as a tanai. Like, for example, you and I could go into a partnership and we'll purchase together in one common pot, right? We'll offer 200 zuz to buy two animals at 100 zuz each. Now, which animal will be yours and which will be mine, that will determine at some later date, because if, you know, if let's say the mocher will deliver the first goat on Sunday, then it's your goat. Then if he'll deliver, when he'll deliver the second goat on Monday, it'll be my goat. That's a tanai. That means that we both agreed to purchase these two animals as a partnership agreement, and we'll divide up the partnership later on, depending upon the kiyum tanai. Ihachi, the Gemara says, Maila Memra. I don't need Rabbi Yossi for this. I mean, if we're talking about a tanai, we're not entering at all into the sugya of Brera, and therefore, if they made a tanai that the determination as to which animal would be the carbon of which of the two ladies would be determined by the Kohen. It's like a person who gives Kedushin to a woman, he says, Almanashi Yirza Abba. And if your father agrees, then the Kedushin is valid. That's a tanai. So you could be Tola Tanai al Das Acherim. That's not a problem. And here also, they're Tola the Das on the Kohen. He'll decide which animal will be possessed and owned by which of the two ladies for her carbon Ola, her carbon Chatos, respectively. So Gemara answers, "Kamashmalon ki de Rav Chizda," that this Mishnah is teaching me a great Chiddush, which was actually formulated by Rav Chizda. Again, the Mishnah already knew Rav Chizda, so to speak. Rav Chizda is much later, but and that is that we're talking about a case that after the kinyan was made on these four birds. After the kinyan was made on these four birds for the sake of the various karbanos, respectively of the chatos and ola, so they made a kinyan be'eruv, you know, be'eruv meaning together, and their condition was that they would divvy up the two pairs, the two kinim, and each ken would be brought as a chatos ola for one of them, and the other ken for the other one. Oh. So here's the Havamina before Rav Chizda. We would have said that since they're going to divide up these birds into two different kinim, the Kohen does not have the right, in other words, he's not authorized to designate one ken for the sake of one and the other for the other. Why? Because it means the following. He's going to take one ken, and he's going to say that this ken, this pair of birds, are both olos. One will be an ola for Rachel and the other for Leah. And from the second pair, he's going to say both of these birds are chatos. Again, one for Rachel and the other for Leah. Now, the problem here is that the ladies, Bishas Lekicha, they didn't specify that, you know, these two birds from this pair will both be olos, and this pair, second pair of birds, will both be chatos. They never specified that. And in essence, at the time of the Lekicha, when the two kinim were purchased, and again, without Rav Chizda, we would have said that it's the Lekicha that's going to determine Chatos versus Ola, and if that be the case, there should be one bird from each of the two different pairs, the two different kinim, that should be an Ola. There should be one pair, one bird from the other ken, that should be an ola, such that we get a chatos and an ola from each one of these two kinim. And Amar Rav Chizda, no. Ein ha kinim misparshos. Here we're going to turn to Lamed Zayin on Beis. Ella, Iba Lekichas Bailim, Iba Asiyas HaKohen. That there are two ways of determining the can. Either it's the critical moment of Lekichas HaBailim, when the Bala Korban purchases these birds, and in this case there are two, right, there are two different Bailim, they can say, well, I'm taking one Chatos from this pair of Chatos, I'm going to take one bird as an Ola from this pair of Olos, and that's fine, I don't need Rav Chisda for that. Or Basiyas HaKohen, that the Kohen, at the moment of Malika, that's called Asiya, he could make that determination vis-a-vis the Ophos. He could be Kovea, that this can are both Olos, and then go ahead and determine which of the two birds in that ken will be an ola for which of the two ladies. And the same with regard to the second ken, which will be a ken made of chatos, of two carbon chatos, one for Rachel, one for Leah. In other words, the kriya shem of the bailim was incomplete. Comes along Rav Chisda, and he's mechadesh, and we'll see that our mission is predicated on that, on that formulation, that principle, that even in the absence of being koveya b'shas l'kicha, habaylim lo karu shem b'shas l'kicha sa'ofos, nevertheless, all I need is a maisa l'kicha. All I need is that both these ladies had a l'kicha on both of these kinim. But neither l'kicha determined the nature of these four birds, meaning which would be Ola, which would be Chatos, which would be for Rachel, which would be Leah. So we would have said that the critical moment to determine the nature of the bird and be magdishit with a shame, a kriya shame of Chatos, a kriya shame of Ola, would have to be done Rachel b'shas l'kicha on her Chatos and her Ola. And the same is true with regard to the other two birds vis-a-vis Leah. So you have Rachel setting up Halukicha, and she's Korei Shem, and Leah as well. Nen, we don't need that. All we need is a Lekicha B'Eruv, that these two Yoldos will have one Lekicha on four different birds, and the Kriya Shem will be supplied and activated by the Kohen B'Shas Malika. So that even though the Bailim had what we call Lekicha Stam, nevertheless, they will not be able to be Korei Shem afterwards. There's the, now all the authority is vested in the Kohen to be Korei Shem. He's going to determine which is the Chatos, which is the Ola, which is whose. Nevertheless, the Kohen could establish that Kriya Shem, which the Bailim in this case could not establish. Why couldn't the Bailim establish this? Because their knia, their purchase of the four birds was stam. And you had a lekicha stam. A lekicha stam cannot be kori shem. It cannot generate the status of a chatos and the ola as an ola. Now again, what would be in shlomim, I don't know. Could be that in such a case, the Bailim later on could make that determination. But at least not in the case of chatos and ola. In Chatos and Ola, there's no way that you can have a Lekicha Stam that would allow a later determination of which of these two birds would be a Chatos and which an Ola. Only in the case of Yoledes, Rav Chisda's Machadesh, that there is another operative, you know, a modus vivendi for creating a Kriya Shem, and that's going to be the Kohen. That the Kohen is vested with the power and the authority to be Korei Shem and determine in a Lekicha Stam which of the two birds will be which Chatos and which will be an Ola. And the source for Rav Chisda is a drasha in the Sugya. And the Sugya, I believe, is in Masechta Yoma, if I'm not mistaken. And he has a drasha. It says regarding Lekichas HaOfos in Vayikra Perek Yud Beis. I'm reading now from the footnote here. It says, V'lakcha shtei torim o shnei b'nei yonah. And then the pasuk says, "Echad li'ola v'echad l'chatas." Now, the sequence of the Reisha and the Seifa of this pasuk are very strange, the Gemara points out, because it says, "Lachash de torim," she took two birds, or shnei b'nei yona. And only later it says, "Echad li'ola v'echad l'chatas." Now, let's compare that pasuk to another pasuk in Vayikra Perek Tesvav, so we're moving three prakim into Vayikra, and there it says, V'yasa ha-kohen, esha echad chatos, V'yasa echad ola, which sounds like the Kohen himself is being koveh. So if we take the language of the first pasuk, which refers to Lekicha, and then we get to the second pasuk, which is the Asiya means the Malika itself. So in the case of the first pasuk, it's V'lacha shtei torim shnei b'nei ola. Oh, shnei b'nei yona. So there's a general lekicha. And it's an unspecified lekicha. In the case of echa li'ola v'echa l'chatas, you cannot have an unspecified lekicha if the lekicha is responsible for the kriya shen. But then in the pasuk of V'yasa kohen, there the Torah says, not V'yasa kohen shtei torim echa l'chatas, but V'yasa kohen echa l'chatas v'echa li'ola. Which means that he, the kohen, has the authority, if you will, to be koveh which is the chatos and which is the ola. And that applies in a case where there was a lekicha stam. So if the lekicha was stam, the asiyas hakohen will now be koveh the kriya shem, which bird will be the ola and which will be the chatos. Oh, he says, al pi divrei agmara biyuma daf memal. Okay, so I didn't mislead you. Usually, I assume this is in Zvachim. Maybe it's also in Zvachim, I don't know. But it's at least we know it's in Masechta Yoma. So let's just summarize where we're up to now. At this point, the Gemara is maintaining that according to Rabbi Yossi, Ein Breira. And that we saw from the Braisa of Lekichas Yayin, from Kusim, and he says, Shnei Lugim, Shari Yosid, etc., etc. And Rabbi Yossi rejects that whole arrangement. He says it's invalid. You're not allowed to drink the wine until you're mafresh because Ein Breira, Rabbi Yossi holds Ein Breira. I, Rabbi Yossi, in the case of Kinim, allowed the Kohen to be Koveya, which would be a Chatos Shadola. That's based on the principle of Rav Chizda, and that's the Chiddush of our Mishnah, but we're dealing with Tanai, in which she said that Holakicha is indetermined, and she is joining forces with a lekicha be'erev, and the power is now vested in the Kohen that he will set up which is the chatos to which woman and which is the ola to which woman. Ain't brave. We have no choice. So Gemara says, Hakati, Sovrab Yossi, ain't brave asanya. I'm going to quote to you a brisa, and I'm going to prove to you from this brisa that Rabbi Yossi, in fact, accepts brera. Now, just by way of introduction, we're not talking about kusim now. We're shifting our focus to amaratzim and amaretz. When you buy fruits from an amaretz, grains, fruits, then it's called dmai. In other words, we do not rely on the fact the amaretz was mafresh maser, and therefore, we, when we buy from an amaretz, we have to be mafresh mas. That was the takana of dmai. That's point number one. That we all know. There's another point that's a little bit more subtle here, and it's not spelled out in the Gemara. That's why I think it should be mentioned. And that is, believe it or not, a Talmud Chacham, a Chaver, someone who's reliable in Jewish law, is not allowed to sell to an Amoritz. In other words, the Chashash that an Amoritz was not Mafresh Maser works in two different directions. Number one, I can't rely on the Amoritz who sold me the grains that he was mafresh. Number two, I cannot rely on the Amoritz that if I sell him peros, that he'll be mafresh. And therefore, I am violating a kind of a lifnei iver if I, as a chaver, sell peros to an Amoritz, and those peros are tevel, and I haven't been mafresh, and I'm going to rely on the Amoritz that he will not eat this peros before he's mafresh, I'm not allowed to do so. So that means that if I'm responsible as a chaver for selling peros to an Amoritz, I have to be absolutely certain and guarantee that Trumas and Maisus were already taken off of those parents. Okay, that's just by way of a little background. So what does it say in the Braisa? Now, the first part of the Braisa is Rabbi Yossi, and the Gemara assumes that what Rabbi Yossi is going to say in the Reisha of the Braisa, the Chacham are going to reject this, is predicated on Yesh Brera, which is problematic because we've already concluded, based on Shnei Lugim, that Rabbi Yossi holds in the Braisa that Ein Brera. Am Ha'aretz, Sha'ama Lechaver. So what's going on here is, number one, we have an Am Ha'aretz who has no credibility with regard to Maestros, and he turns to the Chaver. The Chaver, again, is believed that he's trusted on Maestros. And this Chaver is on his way to purchase what's called Yerek or Gluska, both of which are Chayev and Maser, but again, Gluska is the Raisa, maybe Yerek is the Rabbanon, but in any event, he's asking the Chaver to do him a favor. If you're going to the Shuk anyway, purchase for me an extra, you're buying for yourself a Gluska, buy an extra Gluska. You're buying for yourself a Yerek, buy for me an extra Yerek. Kachli aguda achas shel Yerek, a bundle of a vegetable. I always think of asparagus only because I long for asparagus. We used to buy asparagus in bundles. I don't know, they still sell it in bundles. I haven't had an asparagus in ages. Anyway, ogluska achas, buy me a nice piece of bread. Now, this chaver buys from an Amoritz. Now, we have a double problem. Half of which, one aspect of this problem, is not a problem at all. Meaning, if we would know at the time of the purchase which glusko, which bundle of yirakos the chaver is taking for himself, that's no problem. Because he goes home and he's mafresh. He's not going to rely on the seller who was an Amoritz. But what about the gluska or the yerek which he purchases on behalf of the Amoritz, of his buddy, the Amoritz, who asked him to do me a favor and bring home an extra gluska? If he purchases that gluska on behalf of the Amoritz and he purchased it from an Am Ha'aretz, then he is basically being machshil an Am Ha'aretz, because the Am Ha'aretz is going to assume that it's not worth his while to be mafrish. Let's say he's stingy. Okay, I'll just use that word for the time being, right? So he's not going to be mafrish, maser. So you went ahead as a chaver, you purchased a gluska on behalf of an Am Ha'aretz, and he's going to eat this gluska. He's not going to be mafrish master from the gluska. Says Rabbi Yossi, eino tzarech li aser. Fascinating. The chaver could ship off this gluska to the Amoritz who asked him to do him a favor, and the chaver fulfilled his chavershaft, and he was a very nice person, and he purchased the gluska on behalf of this Amoritz, and he sends him off this gluska. But Rashi has a long explanation. So how could that be permissible? He's sending to the Amoritz this gluska that he bought on his behalf. Basically, he's now transferring ownership over this gluska to the Amoritz who asked him to do him that favor, and there was no afrashas, or maybe there was no afrashas trumas of meisters from this gluska. So Rashi explains that Rabbi Yossi is based on Brera. What does that mean? That at the time of the purchase, when the Chaver buys, we'll call it two gluskos, he's going to say the following. That gluska, which I'm going to ship off to the Amoritz, my good Chaver, I shouldn't use the word Chaver, right? But to my good buddy, that gluska, I'm going to be mafrish maser from it to make sure that I'm not buying something that doesn't have maser on behalf of an Amoritz. And that galuska, which I'll take home for my wife and children, I'll be mafresh from that. In other words, he's setting up an undetermined hafrasha. I'll read to you the language. He says, "Afal gavshi asul chaver limkar liyama arts peiro shedo mesukanim without a tikkun of hafrasha." The kavan shelo pireish kishakana. When he purchased this extra gluska, he did not specify ma kona avur atzmo ma kona avur ama aretz. Is therefore, it's very possible that he's going to be buying for the ama aretz that which has not been subject to afrosha, and therefore he is transferring ownership to the ama aretz of that which has no tikkun. Says Rashi, according to Rabbi Yosi and Choshen Lekach, we're not worried about that. Why yesh brera? Shenosein lama aretz, achas me'agudo shel yerek, achas me'aglukos, huvar l'mafreya, shechelik ze shekona miyad, shechelik ze, kona miyad bishvilo, v'lo hoya shel hachover klal. Okay? In other words, the purchase that I made is going to be determined tomorrow, and that's where his hafrasha is going to be chal. Dibrei Rabbi Yossi, Chacham omrim tzarech li'aser. Chacham say no. He's got to be mafrish the maser immediately. We're not going to rely on brera. Ein brera. And now we see that Rabbi Yossi holds yesh brera. We'll explain this a little more in detail as we go along. But I just wanted to get to the punchline here, Epuch. What is the punchline of Epuch? So you've heard the word Epuch all over Shas. And Epuch means to change around the Shitos. That means that it is the Chachamim who relied on Brera, and Rabbi Yossi was the one who said, Tzarech li'aser, we're not going to rely on prayer. So let's just understand what's going on over here. We have a brisa back on Daf Lamed Zayin Amid Aleph of Lugeyay. And in that brisa of Lugeyay, right? Just one second, sorry, I just want to get the language of the Braisa right. Halokeach Yayin Mibein HaKusim. It was only Rabbi Meir who said that Omer Shnei Lugim Shani Osid LaHafrish, but Rabbi Yossi, together with Rabbi Shimon, Osrim. Okay, fine. So we have one Braisa, which clearly indicates that Rabbi Yossi rejects Brera. Now we have another Braisa, and the original text of the Braisa indicates that Rabbi Yossi accepts Brera. So now we're going to say Epuch. Again, I'm not so comfortable here with Epuch, but it's what I call Nishkefel. If you have one Braisa against another Braisa, my ul mihai mihai, I'm not sure exactly why we're going to say Epoch on this, what I call the second Braisa. So what I mean by second, I mean in the sequence that it appears in the Gemara, the Braisa of a Chaver who's buying on behalf of an Ama Oretz. Basically, I right now I don't have an answer to that question. But again, it's not terrible, because you have to choose one Braisa over the other, maybe flip a coin, and the Gemara decides that we're going to change the Girsa of the Braisa of Ama Oret Shamalo Lechaver Kachli Gluska Achas. Now what's going to happen in the balance of this sugya is we're going to quote a third Braisa, and that third Braisa records Rabbi Yossi as relying on Brera. And once again the Gemara is going to use the Epoch answer. But at this point, the Gemara is going to say this is out of hand already. You got two brisos both of which, according to our Girsa, have Rav Yossi committed to Brera, and you have one Braisa that says that Rav Yossi prohibits the Shnei Lugim Shani Yossi Lafrish because he holds Ein Brera, now you're going to change the Girsa of two Braisas in order to maintain the integrity of the Girsa of one Braisa? That doesn't make any sense. Toshma, here's the second Braisa, which is in sequence the third Braisa, but it's the second Braisa which the Gir says we have it, has Rabbi Yossi relying on Brera. Ha'omer maser shani sheyesh li bebeisi mechul al sela shetala biyodi minakis. Rabbi Yossi omer mechula. So the man has money in his pocket. He's got maser sheni. He can't schlep it to Yerushalayim, so he has to be podit. And he says, well, I got many coins in my pocket. The coin that I will pick up, that's the coin which I'm going to use for chilul, for pidyon ma'aser sheni. He calls it a sela. It doesn't matter which coin it is. And tala biyadi. Tala biyadi means that, you know, right now I'm on the way to Yerushalayim. I don't have time to complete this whole process and select which sela. Tala biyadi. He's got many slaim in his pocket, but one of them will be sufficient to effectuate the pidyon. And Rabbi Yossi validates the pidyon, which means that he can immediately eat the peros. He doesn't have to go to Yerushalayim to eat the peros. So let's say he's on a train to Yerushalayim. He hasn't yet arrived at the station. He's now passing Tel Aviv. And he can eat the fruits that he has. What do you mean eat the fruits? That's a lav d'oraisa, l'sucha lechol b'sharech. You have to eat them in Yerushalayim. The answer is there was chilul. Why? Because when he gets to Yerushalayim, he's going to pick up a sela. And that sela that he picks up, and he chooses from his pocket, that he'll use to buy whatever foodstuff in Yerushalayim to be mekayim the mitzvah of ma'aser sheni. Is nisbar adover l'mafreya shal sela zu chilel. Hare, what do we see from this? Here's sova Rav Yossi sheyesh brera. So Gemara says, Epoch. No. Rabbi Yossi will not allow you to eat these fruits. They're not mechulalim. The pidyon is not chal because ein brera. The Eman, therefore, will reformulate it as Rabbi Yossi omer lo chilel. Frek the Gemara, umay chazis. This is a question we wanted to ask before. But okay, the Gemara said flip a coin. Now the Gemara can't tolerate it anymore. My chazis, the afris tarte mikamik chada. Wouldn't it make more sense if you have three braises, two of which maintain in their original formula that Rabbi Yossi holds Yesh Brera, to maintain that those two braises are correct, and change the braisa of Shnei Lugim of Alokech Min Akusim, Shnei Lugim Shani Yossi Lahafrish, Rabbi Yossi Omer Mutter? Rabbi Yossi would say in that braisa, like Rabbi Meir, you know, let's just link up Rabbi Yossi with Rabbi Meir, and Mechal Vishosamiyat, that the Hafrosha tomorrow will be Chalom Afreya, and therefore we can eat the peros now today, and Rabbi Yossi agrees because Yesh Brera. Now we have three braisos, all of which maintain the same sheet of Rabbi Yossi, that Yesh Brera. In effect, how many braises do we change? Only one. Why do you say Epoch and turn around the Girsa of two braises because for the sake of one braise? That doesn't make any sense. And the Gemara is going to now prove that the braise that we just quoted now, which allows chilul on the sela that he'll pick up tomorrow or in an hour from now, whenever he takes out that sela, he chooses it, will allow him to eat the peros now, and the chilul is chal, and Rabbi Yossi holds yesh brera. Meaning, this last braisa, when we analyze the braisa internally, will, and that analysis will prove to us that Rabbi Yossi holds Yesh Brera. Meaning, in the other two braisos, you can tolerate Epuch. You can take the original Girsa and switch it around. But in this last Brisa of Maisa Sheni, with regard to Pidgeon on a Sela, that Ani Osid Sheyala Biyadi, I'm going to prove to you that Rabbi Yossi maintains Yesh Brira. Now we have three Brises, but one of them unquestionably establishes, just one second, I meant to say, did I say Yesh Brira? I'm sorry, I got a little confused. There's one Brisa that establishes internally in the analysis of the Brisa that Rabbi Yossi holds Ein Brira. Havari Ibchatan. The case of Machal Maisa Sheni al Hasela Shiyala Biyadi, Shatala Biyado, Minakis, that for sure has to be switched around. And it's certainly no question that the Girsa is incorrect, and Rabbi Yossi would say Lo Chilel, he's not allowed to eat the Peros and rely. Why? Because Ketani Seifa in the Brisa it says, Umode Rabbi Yossi. Now, again, we're going to get into Rode Rabbi Yossi. It's a case where he has only one coin in his pocket. But before we get to that, let's just emphasize Umode Rabbi Yossi. Umode Rabbi Yossi, that in the following scenario, Chilel, the pigeon is valid, implying that in the Reisha, Rabbi Yossi would hold Lo Chilel. Under what circumstances? Right, because Ein Brira. So we have no choice. We have to say Ein Brira in Rabbi Yossi. Why? Because the Sefer of the Brisa tells us that in the following scenario, Rabbi Yossi will validate the Chilul. Be Omer Meiser Yesh Sheyeshli Besof Besi Ye Mechul Al Selach Hadosha Shetala Biyodi Benakis. Now the phrase Selach Hadosha means that he's got only one new coin, right? There are minted coins that come from yesteryear, and then there's a recently minted coin that's called a Selach Hadosha. He has in his pocket only one Selach Hadosha. So that now when he's Mafrish, I'm sorry, when he's Mechalel, and he says, I'm being Mechalel these Peros, on the Selach Hadosha Shetala Mikisi, we don't need Brera anymore. Why? Because there's only one such Sela. Midakoma, Hocha, Shechilel, right? And the Brisa says, Moda Rabbi Yossi, in the case of Sela, Chadosh, Yeshli, Bikisi, Shetala, Bikisi, Chilel, that then Rabbi Yossi, and only then, agrees and concedes that the Chilel will be valid, is Michlal. We can derive that in the first case of the Brisa, the Reisha of the Brisa, Lo Chilel. Now, how could that be Lo Chilel when it says explicitly that Omer Maisa Shein Sheishli Bebesi Mechul Al Sela Shani Osid Lalos Biyodim in a Kiss? It says here Mechul, Rabbi Yossi Omer Mechul. The answer must be that internally there's a mistake in the Brisa. The formulation of the Brisa is faulty, and that I can prove to you Minei Ubei in the Brisa. We have no choice but to assume that Rabbi Yossi in the Reisha of the Brisa holds Lo Mechula, and therefore the Sefer makes sense logically that Moda Rabbi Yossi, then in the case of Selach Hadosha Sheishli Bekisi, is Mechula. Memela, if in the case of one of three Brisos, we see clearly that Rabbi Yossi holds Ein Brera, then it makes sense to accept the girsa of the first of the three brises. When I say first, I mean sequentially in the order of the Gemara, of the Kusim, in which he says, Shnei Lugim Shariyosid Lahafrish, etc. And now we're going to say the Rabbi Yossi Oser, right? That's exactly the girsa as we have it. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Osrim, because we're not going to accept a future Hafrasha to be Mavira now, which Yayin is Chulin, and therefore Osrim, because you've got Tevel, you've got a mixture here of Trumas and Maestras of Tevel. Now, we take that original Brisa of Shnei Lugim, we combine it with this Brisa of Maeser Sheni, Sela shani osid lehalos miki. See, we're going to say lochile, and that's Rabbi Yossi's view because he's not going to accept brera. So we have two brises that now shtim together. Rabbi Yossi obtained brera. Now we go back to the brisa of the Ama Oretz, and in that brisa of the Ama Oretz, we're going to apply the principle of epuch. And it's Rabbi Yossi who's going to say that no. He's not allowed to purchase this gluska, this bundle of yerakos on behalf of the Ama Aretz and apply Brera. And that's where we're going to establish Epoch. So that's the last two words on this piece of Gemara that we didn't read. And Vashamina Lerav Shimon del... Oh, okay, fine. All right, so we're gonna have to discuss a stira in Rav Shimon. Just one second. I think did I skip something? Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped something. Sorry. Hi, Selah Chadosha Hechi Dami. Idaika Tati Tlos. Is the Yesh Brera Hainu Kamaisa. If he's got three new coins in his pocket that were recently minted, then we're back to square one. Again, we have to apply the principle of Brera. Ella, by process of elimination, the Lech Alechadi's only got one new coin in his pocket. Is my Tale. What does it mean in the Brisa when he says, Selah Chadosh Shetale Minakisi? Tale means when you have a whole group and you don't know which one he's going to pick up. He's got only one new coin in his pocket. So the more answers. Aidi the Tonaresha Tala, Tonisefa Nami Tala, to scratch out the word Tala. It's only there to maintain the symmetry to the Resha. What bothers me about this sugya is Moda Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi's Moda that if he only has one coin in his pocket, okay, in this case, he has only one newly minted coin in his pocket. Chilel. I mean, what was the Havamina? I mean, Brera always, by definition, implies that there are two possibilities, at least, if not more. Now, I mean, here he's very clear about where the Chilel Meiser of Meiser Sheni is going to be Chal. What exactly is the Gevaldige Chiddush here, Umoder Rav Yossi, in this case? So the Gemara is going to deal with this later on. Now, the next sugya is going to deal with other different Tanoim to try to figure out what they hold about Brera or Ein Brera, and to possibly investigate the possibility that I can hold Ein Brera for a Doraisa, but Yesh Brera for a Derabbanan. That's where Erevin is going to come back into the fore, because Erevin is Derabbanan. However, before we go on, let me go back, if you don't mind, to the Brisa of the Ama Aretz. And we'll take it from the top. Vasanya Ama Aretz Sha'omar Lechaver Kachli Aguda Achas Shel Yerek Ogluska Achas. Okay. So now, the chaver is purchasing peros of Dmai, right, from an Amoritz, and he's purchasing on behalf of himself and on behalf of his buddy, the Amoritz. But we don't know which Gluska, I'll use Gluska as an example, which Gluska he bought for himself and which for the Ama Aretz. And Rabbi Yossi, according to this Girsa, is going to say that Eino Tzarech Li'as. Again, we're going to change that with the Epoch, but it doesn't matter. I'm not interested in the names. I'm just trying to figure out the mechanics of Brera here. Eino Tzarech Li'as. So if I understand correctly, let's start with what I call the simplest premise, and that is that the chaver is buying a gluska for the Amo Oretz, his buddy, and he doesn't need to be mafrish maser, if I understand correctly, ein tzorch li aser, on that which he's giving to the Amo Oretz. How does that work? Again, we're going to have to use Brera here, because otherwise that makes no sense, what I just said to you. How could it be that Rabbi Yossi, according to this case, right, eino tzorch li aser, means that the bread that he's buying and delivering to the Amo Oretz, he doesn't have to be mafrish. Okay? So let me just read to you this note, which is based on the Mishnayos in Tmai and Rashi as well. He says the following. Ein ha-chaver tzorch li aser es mashe nosein lama oretz v'af she'osu l'chaver limkor li'ama oretz peiro she'eno misukonim. Right, that's the mission in Tmai. Right, you can't sell to an Amoretz that which needs hafrasha, because we don't rely on the Amoretz to be mesakev. Ubinyanenu kevan shelo piresh kishaknaon eze kona avur atzmo vi eze avur Amoretz itochen Shehevi lama oretz es hachelek shekona avur atzmo. Benimtza shemocher lo osa mishalo. Okay, so again, it's possible, since he didn't designate which bread he's buying for himself, which one he's buying for them oretz. So it could possibly be that he's delivering to the Amo Oretz the chelek shekonavur atzmo. Okay, fine. V'nimtza shemocher lo osa mishalo. If I understand correctly, there's like a second transaction going on over here. Because first, let's call it pas A. So he buys pas A for himself, but he delivers that pas to the Amo Oretz. I mean, that's a 50% chance, possibility that might happen. And when he delivers it, apparently that's called a second mechira. And I guess the Amo Oretz is going to probably pay him for that. So if that be the case, then clearly, on that 50% chance, he is violating the Isur, the prohibition that was formulated by the Mishnayos in Dmai, that he's selling Dmai to an Amo Oretz, which he's not allowed to do. Mikol makom ein choshishin lakach. Kevan sheyesh brera. And what does that mean? Ukshin nosein lama oretz achas mina gluskos huver hadover lemafreya Shechelik ze kona miyad bishvilo v'lo hoya shalachel halachover klal. So I both say, I know this is problematic, but let's just get the mechanics of it. Just you know, I can't solve all the problems v'vasacha simultaneously. So just on a mechanical level, the Mishnah says in Dmai that you're not allowed to transfer ownership over Dmai to an Amo Oretz. And here in this case, again, just on a technical level, there's a 50% chance, before we get to Brera, that you are involved in a transaction. You, the Chaver, if you follow what I mean. Why? Because it's exactly that Gluska that you acquired for yourself that you're going to deliver and in effect sell to the Amoretz, and you're selling him Dmai. How do we circumvent that mechanical problem on a mechanical level, technical level, is when apply the principle Huvara Dovulum Afreya, so that the gluska that you will deliver to the Amoretz is Igloi Milsum Afreya, was the gluska, not that one which we call Pas A but Pas B, not the one that you bought for yourself, because then you would be in effect selling Dmai to an Amoretz, which you're not allowed to do, but rather he says Huvar Adover L'Mafreya Shemolcher L'Amoretz Es Chelko. Again, I don't, the word chelko here is very ambiguous, but what it means is that gluska that the Chavar is now delivering to the Amoretz was the gluska of the Amoretz from the get-go. So the actual delivery tomorrow of the gluska will clarify L'Mafreya that it was that gluska that was purchased for the express purpose of the Amoretz, not as a kinyan for the chaver, such that now the chaver would be delivering his own gluska, which is problematic. And therefore, there'll be no violation of this isur. Let me just go one step further, again on a technical level, and that is chachomim omrim Tzarechli Asir, because Ein Brera, again we're going to switch the Shitas around, V'itochen Shemocher Lama Arts Es Chelko, again following suit with what we said before, that he, the Chavar, is going to sell to the Amoretz when he delivers it his own Chelk, the Chavar's own Chelk, V'asur L'Chavar Limko L'Yama Arts Dover Sheinu Mesuko. Now, that was on a technical level. On a lumdisha level, we have to deal with a more fundamental problem, and that's lifnei ivra lo sitein michshol. I mean, why did the Rabbanan say that you're prohibited from selling dmai to an Amoretz? Obviously, because we don't rely on the Amoretz to be mafrish, and you're being machshil the Amoretz. And we have to, I think, apply here tzvei dinim, you know, a kind of a brisket tzvei dinim over here. We're going to say that there are two different issues. There's one technical and there's one lifnei iver. Again, I'm only suggesting. I have no proof for what I'm about to say. So you're the jury. You could reject it outright. But on a technical level, the Rabbanan said that any transaction between a chaver and a ma'aretz, if it's d'mai, is prohibited. That problem can be obviated and solved by brera if you hold yesh brera. If you don't hold Yesh Breira, then there's at least a 50% chance that you are violating this Iser because you are actually delivering Dmai that belongs to you, Mr. Chaver, to the Amoretz. So there's a 50% chance that you're violating that Iser, the Iser in the Maisa Kinyan, we'll call it. But then, there's another dimension to this, and that is you might be fooling the Amoretz into believing that this fruit or vegetable was already subject to hafrasha by selling it to him. So the answer is that problem we're going to solve in another way. We're going to have to make sure that the Amoretz understands that what he's getting is d'mai, either because he knows who the seller was, or alternatively the chaver will notify his buddy that hafrasha, there's no reliance here that the hafrasha was actually implemented. Now it could be that the Rabbanan established that if there's a mechira from the chaver to the Amoretz, then we have a problem of lifnei iver. Then the Amoretz has every right to assume that what he's buying from a chaver is mesukan, just like you and I, if we buy fruits from a chaver, he's got this big badat sign that says that he was mafrish, then you don't have to be mafrish. So when you sell as a chaver to an Amoretz, that's when we have the isur that the Amoretz is relying on the chaver. But if the Amoretz understands that what he's getting he's getting directly from the Amoritz who sold it, he's not buying it as a sale from the Chaver, then that's not the Chaver's problem. Alternatively, on a moral level, maybe because of Lifnei Iver, the Chaver will have to notify the Amoritz if there's any even shadow of a doubt that the Amoritz may have mistakenly thought that this was purchased from a Chaver. Okay, Rabbi Olsai, so let's just make a note of where we got up to here on Daf Lamed Zayin Amid Beis. And we're talking about Omar Le Rava Le Rav Nachman. Okay, how many lines down from the top of the Amud? I don't know, maybe it's easier to count from the bottom of the Amud. Can we think of a... here's a good simon. You see the Tosis Divya Maschil Ella Me'ata. So if you go straight across, you should find a line that starts with the word Seifa. So Baruch Hashem, I found our Kasha here in the name of the Chazon Ish. I'll read it to you. L'chora ayinu tzuchim lesar, even if I hold Yesh Brera, Gam im achaver eno mocher asayirk mishalo liyama oretz. Sharei mikol makom gorem lamoretz lechol isur v'yovral lifnei yivel osite michshol. Ubir achazon ish. Shemedubar kan v'yama oretz oni. So the Yama Oretz, who's asking his friend, the Chover, to buy for him this Kluska, he himself, the Yama Oretz, is an Oni. And Mutaloli Oni Lechol Dmai, Kimavur B'mishnu B'dmai Per Gimel. Im Kein Ena Chover Machshilo B'Isur. Mikomakom, so the Chazon Ish says, if he's not being Machshil him in an Isur, is Asur, nevertheless, Lechaver Limkor Lo Dmai. And that's an Isur, he calls it Bifnei Atzmo, Shekayim Gambi Ofen Azzeh. So it wasn't the way I told you that the Chaver will have to notify the Chaver that he needs to be mafrish or any of that. It's just that the violation of this Iser is an Iser Bifnei Atzmo. In other words, selling Dmai to an Amoritz is an Iser Bifnei Atzmo. Again, I don't know why that Iser should apply in a case where the buyer is himself an Ani. Okay, and as far as Peros Master Shein B'Yushalayim, the Torah says via Chalto Lifnei Hashem Lekech Mokom Asher Yivchar L'Shakin Shmo Shom Masar D'Goncha Tiroshcha V'Yitzarecha Osu Lechol B'Tuma and Osu Lechol outside of Yushalayim. And here we have a Kasha, the Dvar of Rom Teimo L'Chora Afim Ein Brera Mikomakom chalachul el sheino nu yodim al ezim at bechal madus over sagmora shim ein berlo chal hachul klal. And apparently the Dvar Avram is assuming that chalos shetluya bebrera ain't a chal klal if you hold ein brera. So here, I guess the chalos depends. Chalos tliya bebrera depends upon brera. Lo amrinon shafilu im ein brera chala ela shehi biofen lo mevurar. So I guess there's one shita that says that even if you hold ein brera, there will be some sort of chalos, just that it's called Eina Mevureres. Here we're assuming it won't be chal at all, because the chalos depends upon the brera. He says, Yefshal lomer sha'chiul chal b'tzura lo mevureres. Here we cannot have a chiul that's not clear. Sherei hisna b'feiru sha'maser yischal al matbeya shetala b'yodo, v'im kein lo yochal lochal shem maser al matbeya shalo ola b'yodo. Umiidok sha'ola matbea kolshu biyodo einenu yecholim lomar shahuvar lomafreya shachilul chal of mitchila einenu yecholim lomar shahuvar lomafreya shachilul chal all of mitchila sharei ein brera. So that's why this sugya of of chilul maaser depends upon brayus. So let's make a note of where we're up to. If you see the Tosfos Divrei Maskal Ela Me'ata here on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, straight across from there, Omar Le Rav Ol Rav Nachman. That's where we'll pick it up, Mirtzah Hashem, tomorrow.